Today we want to look at this thought. Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. The narrow gate is the right gate. If everyone else is doing it, that's the wide gate. The wide road is all-inclusive, but the narrow road is not all-inclusive. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now, isn't that interesting? The Word of God makes a statement there, and then it says, do not be deceived, because Paul, the author of this, knew that the devil would come to try to deceive us and tell us it doesn't matter about your lifestyle. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the righteous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers. We have no right to leave any of that out. And to say, well, I have that problem, and so it's okay. Just because we have a problem doesn't change the Word of God. It just means we need to mortify the deeds of the body by the Spirit. And that can be done if we pray and seek Him and get into the Word of God. All of us more than likely violated a lot of these things, if not all of them, but we've been forgiven and washed in the blood of Christ. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers. But all swindlers, please raise your hand. please don't. I hope that's not here. Well, none of these people, he says, will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the wide road that leads to destruction. And you watch people on that road, and you'll see many of them overdosing on drugs and dying and killed while driving drunk and shot because it's messing with somebody's girlfriend or husband. I mean, these people wind up in big trouble, and most of us have been there enough to know that that is not the good life, but it is definitely the broad gate, the broad road. Now, here's the key. Such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. In other words, we have absolutely no right to be proud and arrogant and say, look at those dirty old sinners, I'm such a wonderful, righteous person. We cannot, none of us can say that because we've all been on that road. But we've been washed. And so in condemning others, we need to be praying that the Holy Spirit would draw them into the kingdom of God. They'll be born again and delivered. God did not call me to judge and beat up on anyone. He called me to be a bright, shining light so they can see there is a better way. The secular humanist, did I read all that? Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctified and justified, and in the Spirit of our God. What does justification mean? It means you stand before God as if you've never, ever sinned. And it's important for everyone of us to realize that. The Lord spoke to me not too long ago, and He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And why is that? It's because we've been justified by His blood. And when you come boldly before the throne of grace, you come as the righteous of God. You might say, well, I haven't always acted righteous. But in those cases, if your heart is convicted, you apologize to God, ask Him to forgive you, and you forgive yourself and get on with it. There is no condemnation from God on born-again believers, even though the devil would try to put condemnation on you, because he knows as long as you're under condemnation, you're not going to have the faith to believe God. Because you can't come boldly before the throne of grace and feel like a dirty old worm. Okay, can you say amen? But if you're washed in the blood, then he sees you as righteous. But if you do have things in your life that's not pleasing to him, he will help you by the power of the Holy Spirit to get set free from those things. You see, this says that those on the right wide road do not inherit the kingdom of God. And preachers can change it, but it's not going to change on Judgment Day. I could preach something totally different, but then I'd give an account to God for misrepresenting God. Galatians 5:19, it says, now the doings are the practices, the King James says, the works of the flesh are clear, obvious, they are immorality, impurity, indecency. That's why Christians need to dress right. Can you say amen? Verse 20, idolatry, sorcery. There you have it, sorcery, witchcraft, psychics, all those kind of things. We need to leave that stuff alone. Idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Oh, that's one a lot of Christians just love. They love to fuss and fight. The Lord says that it's right in there with all the other things. Okay. It's right in there with all the bad stuff. It's right in there with immorality, impurity, and indecency, idolatry, indecency, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, uncontrolled anger, selfishness, divisions, dissensions. How many know divisions in the church is not pleasing to Almighty God? It puts these things in some pretty bad company. Verse 21, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What's wrong that people can't understand that? There are no perfect people, but you can't just practice sin. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you and cleanse you from it. Amen, preacher. Verse 21, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that has the meaning of practice, continuing. There's no perfect people. You might sin, get tripped up, and get into something, but you confess it as sin and get out by the help of God and stay away from it. Amen. This is the broad road. You have to be careful with a message like this not to put condemnation on people, because there is therefore now no condemnation if you repented and your sins are in the blood. Jesus himself said, I did not come to condemn the world. And he says the world's already condemned because of its sins. But if your sins are in the blood, that's a wonderful thing. You see, we are now on the narrow road. If we're born again, we are on a different path. We have different fruit. We mortify the deeds of the body by the Spirit. And there's another great temptation for us to try to clean ourselves up by human effort. It just doesn't work. It works when you get on your knees and pray and meditate on the Word of God. And maybe even have other people agreeing with you. But the word demands, but the world demands that we're woke. I mean, they're trying to push stuff on us. Now, what is woke? Woke is drag queens dancing two-thirds naked in front of kindergarten and elementary kids. It's happening all over the country. Woke is so-called transgender men destroying women's sports and cheating young girls out of college scholarships. That's woke. Woke is also men in girls' bathrooms and dressing rooms claiming to be transgender. There's no such thing as transgender. If you doubt that, read the Bible. Jesus said, you've read in the beginning how God created them male and female. Male and female created he them. And then he says, for this reason, a man is to leave his parents and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. That is God's only statement on that subject. Therefore, the only sex that's righteous before God is between a married man and a married woman. And that's not my rule. No point in getting mad at me and calling me a bigot. Call God a bigot if you dare. And by the way, check the biology book. These people are totally contrary to the biology book, and they're calling us names. And these people are just completely demonized to the point they can't even see truth. Somebody don't say anything. It's just, hang on. Woe is pornography being shown to our young school children disguised as sex education. A kindergarten and a first grader, second grader, third grader does not need to know anything about that. They've got enough on their plate to take care of without having to get all of that thrown on them. Woke is aborting unwanted pregnancies. Woke is Marxist teaching that America is an evil place, even though it is still the best place in the world to live for all races. This is why everyone wants to come to this evil, wicked country, is because it's so evil and wicked. It's because it's dealing with all of our problems, and boy, we got them. It's almost scary what we're going through. But at the same time, it's still the best place to live in the world. Amen. You don't see any other country, everybody trying to break into it from all over the world. Wake up! We better wake up before we lose her. America, we're on the verge of losing this country because of all this wokeness, foolishness. God's not going to bless this very long, especially when you got Christians and churches going along with it, and you got some churches actually ordaining homosexuals to ministry. I don't hate homosexuals. I love them. I got dear friends. I just adore them, think the world of them. I don't mean to them, and they're not mean to me. They're not critical of me, and I'm not critical of them. We accept each other like we are, but if anyone wants to know what the Bible says, I'll tell them. And I'm preaching it right now. Amen. I'm not mad at anybody, but I love you enough and everyone else enough to tell you what the Bible says. And if you don't want to believe it, that's on you. But it's not going to be on me for not telling you what the Word says. Woke is radical gaze demanding that Bible-believing Christians approve of their homosexual lifestyle. My gay friends do not demand that I agree with them. Good gay people will not. Can you say amen? But the radicals, they're the ones that's doing it. As a matter of fact, normally it's not even the gays anyway. It's heterosexuals who are whipping this thing up to cause us to hate each other. It's like with race. Very often it's white people yelling about race, and they don't care about black, white, or anything else. All they want to do is get us in fight so they can take over this country and turn it into China. You better wake up. And you won't hear many preachers preaching this. Did I make you nervous? Go back and get some of my sermons on faith. You see, people can be gay without forcing Bible-believing Christians to violate their faith. Come on. Let's live together in harmony. People attack the morality. People attacking the morality of the Bible are on the wrong road that ends in the wide road that ends in the lake of fire. Laurie Smith, owner of a 303 Creative, a website design company, refused to make a website for a same-sex wedding. I mean, it was against her conscience. She felt like that was wrong, so she just said no. She didn't criticize them, wasn't mean to them. You know, she just said, I just can't do that. I don't know if she's Christian or not, but she just couldn't do it. So the Supreme Court just in June ruled that she was right. She had the freedom of speech, and her design, that's a form of speech. And so they said, okay, well, guess what? The woke people are now threatening to kill her. They're going to force it on her if they can. Listen, bless God, may serve notice, you secular humanist devils, you're not forcing anything on me or this church or God's people. We cannot bow to your idols and to your foolishness, and we will not bow. And if you don't bow, you're going to wind up in the lake of fire. Deny it all you will, but you'll believe it when you get there. Threatening to kill this woman, trying to compel her and force her to go against her own inner conscience. And I don't even know if she's Christian or not. But that's the world you live in. The character of the people on the narrow road is different from those on the broad road. When we're born again, the Holy Spirit produces His fruit in our lives. We can't brag about it. It comes from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit causes us to look and act like our Lord. And so when you see people looking and acting like the devil on a habitual basis, you know, makes you wonder. Anybody might have a bad day and need to apologize for something. But a born-again believer should have some fruit. Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruit. Well, that's not important. Jesus seemed to think it was. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. The number one thing is love. How can church people hate each other and fight each other and try to wreck each other's reputation, slander each other, and still love each other? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, benevolence is really what that means. Faithfulness, gentleness, really means meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint. Those are things the Holy Spirit produces in us and through us. Verse 25, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. our conduct controlled by the Spirit. That's a possibility. Our conduct controlled by the Spirit. A born-again person cannot be a racist or a hater. You cannot be born again and hate people. The Bible says if you hate a brother, you have murder in your heart. And then it says we know that no murderer has eternal life. And that goes every which way. The first, number one fruit of the Spirit is love. A born-again person will bear fruit. Jesus said, we know a tree by its fruit. No fruit, wrong road. That's why I love my gay friends. That's why I love my alcoholic friends. That's why I love people that's really full of the devil. It's because God put that love in me, and I love them anyway. And with God's help, I'd be a good Samaritan in him that really needed my help. The all-inclusive road is a road that leads to destruction. Matthew 7:13, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Can anyone guess who said that? Jesus Christ. And there are many who enter through the wide gate. The secular humanists are very open-minded. They are very inclusive of everyone except born-again Bible believers. We're the only ones they totally kick out of their club. They're not in all-inclusive. I got a weak amen, but I'm going to move on. They try to exclude us from everything and try to censor everything we say and call it hate speech. Even YouTube has called some of my sermons hate speech. Because stuff like this, just preaching the word. And I'm telling you, I'm not their problem. God's their problem. They try to exclude us from everything, censor everything we say today. They're even getting some of us fired from our jobs because we believe some of the things I just quoted and read. Verse 14, but have you know God's got a better job? I wouldn't want to work for anybody like that anyway. How about you? Verse 14, for the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Boy, there's a lot of so-called Christians thinking they're on the way to heaven, and they're not living like Jesus. Verse 15, beware of the false prophets, the false preachers in the pulpit preaching everything but the Bible. Beware of them, who come to you as sheep in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Secular humanists, you need to understand there's secular humanists everywhere. In the Democrat Party, the Republican Party, in the pulpit, in the classroom, in the universities. These people are everywhere. And they're planted there by Satan to deceive us and our young people. That's why some preachers, all preachers need to get in the pulpit and just read the Bible. Everyone has a right to know what God says. Secular humanists are ravenous wolves who deceive our kids and to experimenting with homosexuality, the transgender lifestyle, all kinds of illicit sexual activity, drugs, alcohol, and pornography. This stuff is actually encouraged by university professors and others all over this country. Well, just try it. You might like it. Well, let me tell you something. When you start trying illicit sex, you're going to get addicted to it, and it's not going to be easy to get off of it. Matter of fact, it's probably the most strong addiction there is. And I read the other day that Paul says it's the only sin against your own body. And they're encouraging our kids, well, just experiment, try it. But then when our kids get venereal diseases and get pregnant, they're not there to pay the bill. They intentionally destroy the faith of our young people, destroy their faith in Jesus Christ and his word. Matthew 7:16. You will know them by their fruits. And who said that? Jesus. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles, are they? I know most of you know this and believe this, but when you hear all these scriptures, one on top of the other, it really is astounding, isn't it? I mean, God's word is very clear. Verse 17, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. The secular humanists have used our schools in Hollywood to teach and preach ungodliness. Verse 18, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Listen, Jesus said if you're born again, you're going to have at least a little bit of love and joy and peace, you know, and a little self-control. Amen. There's another word there, faithfulness. Christians should be faithful. They do what should be what they say they're going to do. And they realize they can't, then they just call and apologize and said, I thought I could do that, and I can't. That's right. Hallelujah. So Christians are being outlawed in Hollywood. It's almost impossible to be a Christian in Hollywood. And we got some of our members out there right now. They're doing pretty good. Boy, one of our members was a writer for some of the screenplays and stuff. And the language and stuff got so filthy that he couldn't do it and he had to quit. If I said his name, a lot of you know exactly who he is. They visited here not too long ago. I mean, pray for him. And he's still doing good, but just pray that God open the doors for them to go through. Verse 19, every tree that... You see, we got a weapon these people can't defend themselves against. Prayer. You can call them names, but that's not going to hurt them. Prayer would change them. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And a lot of these people are not going to live out their whole life. God's going to cut them down. After they've really exhausted all the grace of God and they just will not repent, will not turn to God, it says, cut the tree down. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 20, so then you will know them by their fruit. That's what Jesus had to say about it. Well, I don't know if I agree with that. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to agree with Jesus Christ. People who spew hate, abuse deadly drugs, abort babies, and practice sexual morality are not on the right road. I said practice. Don't sit there and feel guilty because something you did and you repented of it. Let the thing go and serve God. And pray and keep yourself strong in the Holy Spirit and in the Word of God so you don't wind up in a bad situation again. I don't see any need to go to church, but if you're going to stay strong, you need to have a good godly group of people around you. Luke 13:24, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. You see how many times I'm quoting Jesus Christ? They seek heaven, but they have been deceived. They have been taught the path is wide. Anyone and everyone can enter without condition, but the path to heaven allows only born-again believers producing good fruit. The Jesus road is narrow, verse 25, when once the master of the house has risen up. This is Jesus teaching again, of course. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you. Where are you from? If you are on a broad, all-inclusive road, you will be... all-inclusive road, you are on the wrong road. Oh, we're all inclusive. Well, count me out. I don't be a part of your club. Okay. If everybody else is doing it, that's a pretty good sign you don't need to be doing it. That's what they say. Everybody else is doing it. Well, everybody's not on the narrow road. Verse 27, But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. He's going to say that to workers of iniquity, those who practice and live that lifestyle. Verse 28, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. You see, heaven is not all inclusive. Everyone is not going to be there. Remember, the rich man could see Lazarus in paradise. When I preached on that last week. Remember, the rich man could see Lazarus in paradise at a banquet, but he was being tormented. And Jesus says the very same thing here. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Lazarus in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. And so it doesn't sound to me like you're going to be annihilated. It sounds like you're going to be alive and can even see into heaven. You're talking about torment. And the people in this room, people under the sound of my voice, are without excuse. We know it now. He said, amen. Most of us already do it. When you see into heaven, it says you will weep and gnash your teeth. Revelations 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, say unbelieving. Unbelieving in Jesus Christ and his word. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. In seminary and other places, I've heard people debating hell. Well, hell is Hades. Well, hell is Gehenna. It's just where they burn trash or something. No, it says, Jesus uses those terms, but then he says the lake of fire. So that's where ungodly people wind up, is in the lake of fire. Call it whatever you want to call it. Matter of fact, it says hell and Hades is emptied into the lake of fire in the end. And if you want to take your chances with the lake of fire, you go ahead. But I don't plan to take my chances with that. All you got to do is repent, make things right with God. Why be so stubborn? And the good life is the better life anyway. There's several reasons I'm so healthy. One is I haven't lived an ungodly lifestyle. I've never smoked a cigarette, never drank a beer. And never. I know some of you are thinking, well, that's okay. Well, no one ever drinks the first beer saying, I'm going to become an alcoholic. And if you want to be sure you don't become an alcoholic, just make up your mind like me. I'm not drinking this stuff. And it doesn't do you a bit of good. Well, Paul told Timothy to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake. Well, they didn't have chlorine in the water, and they had the amoeba and stuff, and the wine killed it. But we have chlorine. I don't have to take a chance on becoming an alcoholic, and some of you are going to get mad at me for that. But shame on you. I'm in America. I have a freedom of speech. And that's my personal belief. And I haven't chased after wild women or anything like that. And there's a high price to pay for being on the wrong road. I meet people all the time in their 50s. They look like they're 90 years old. And when I hear how old they are, I say, my Lord, what have you been doing? I mean, lifestyle is everything when it comes to health. Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the adulterers, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. You see, this is through the whole Bible. Especially New Testament, even mentioned in the Old. Our ungodly secular universities and the lake of fire may be all-inclusive, but heaven is not. Revelation 20:13, and they were judged, each one according to his works. According to your works. Our works. You see, when I'm preaching this, and I'm applying it to me too. Me too. Verse 14, then death and Hades, here it is, were cast into the lake of fire. So whatever you believe about Gehenna and Hades and all this stuff, it doesn't eliminate the lake of fire, because it says that death, you see, God's got it covered. We just need to read the Bible and quit listening to some of these preachers and theologians. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the second death. Why is it called the second death? Because at that point, all hope is gone. All hope is gone. And everyone not found written in the book of life, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ lives in you, that your name is written in heaven. If you don't, you need to take care of that before you walk out these doors. Heaven is not all-inclusive, but the lake of fire is. It includes everybody except born-again believers. We choose life by accepting Jesus Christ and obeying Him. John 3:7, Jesus says, you must be born again. Doesn't say you must be perfect, says you must be born again. And when you're born again, the Holy Spirit lives in you, starts producing love, joy, peace, patience, benevolence, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Can you say amen? Jesus uses the foolish virgins to represent people who are not ready. Matthew 18:3, Jesus said, assuredly, this is the boss, Jesus Christ, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become, this is a new King James Version, I try to pick the version that I believe is closest to the Greek or the Hebrew, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. People who are not converted, are changed by the power of God, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what it means to be born again. And Jesus once said that too. You must be born again. Matthew 24:40. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Who's left? The ungodly one. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Verse 42. Watch therefore. Who said that? Jesus. Don't get careless. Don't start thinking, well, I don't need to fast and I don't need to pray and I don't need to go to church. Don't get careless and become weak. Stay strong. Watch therefore, for and Jesus once said it, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. In other words, stay on ready. Keep your gas tank full. Keep your lantern full of oil. See, this is talking about the second coming. But right now, he's coming for us one at a time. People say, well, we don't know. He may be 100 years before he comes back. He won't be 100 years before he comes back for you. And it certainly won't be 100 years when he comes back for me. The message is, be ready. That's what he's saying. Know you're born again. Know the Lord lives in you. And know you're continuing to live by faith. You don't live by faith for 15 minutes. You live by, it says, the just shall live by faith. You live by faith in Jesus Christ, in His Word, your whole life. Eternity is too long to be wrong. Where will you be after you're dead and gone? You see, the Bible talks about hell more than it talks about heaven. There's a reason Jesus Christ came and died and shed his blood. That's to keep you out of the lake of fire. Keep me out of the lake of fire. Matthew 25:2. The parable of the 10 virgins at a wedding. This is the parable of the 10 virgins at a wedding that Jesus told. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. They didn't say prayed up, fired up, fasted up, churched up, or whatever. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. The foolish virgins represent people who are not ready. Verse 10, and while they, the foolish virgins, went to buy oil, the bridegroom came. Now, Jesus is telling this, not Barry. The bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with them to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. In which the Son of Man is coming. If you hear one of these verses that contradicts something you've heard preached all your life, you may want to go with the Bible and with that verse instead of what you've been taught. Jesus told this for a reason. What is the message? Very simple. Be ready. born again, confess your sins, make things right with God. Once the door is shut, it is shut for good. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, not only in the next life, but this life. Jesus uses the foolish virgins to represent people who are not ready. Jesus says, unless you are converted, you will not, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven, meaning you must be born of the Spirit of God. Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow gate. Make sure you're right with God. That's all.